Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly, and I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group. Joining me, as is customary, is Tricia McCrone. Tricia, what's happening, hot stuff?
Well, a few things is happening. What I must say, it was since we last talked, I had a very interesting Friday night.
Tell us about it.
Last Friday, mutual friend of my family and also is a Wolf Blitzer, who is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was his guest and kind of acted a little bit of a PR type of a person.
Right.
His plus one for the Soul Train Awards.
Soul Train Music Awards. Dish.
Yes.
And Wolf Blitzer.
Yes.
Las Vegas.
Who else did you expect?
Party.
Yes. And let me tell you, all I'm going to say is, because you have to watch the show on December 1st, I believe, on BET.
Okay.
That Wolf Blitzer was the coolest guy in the room.
Wolf Blitzer, the CNN correspondent, was the coolest guy in the room.
Yes.
At the Soul Train Music
Awards.
Yes,
and not just the Situation Room, the entire...
The whole... Yeah. Well, I remember Soul Train, the title,
yes,
as we all do. Don Cornelius.
Yeah.
On the Soul Train. Up next is Tavares. Now...
Yes, exactly.
Wolf Blitzer in that culture is the coolest guy in the room.
Yes.
How so?
Well, last year he did an appearance where he was taught how to Dougie by Dougie Fresh.
Oh, my gosh.
And see, I did not know this because I had not watched Lab. Mistakenly me. I had not watched
the
Soul Train Awards.
Is Dougie Fresh still around?
Dougie Fresh, he actually closes the show. It's pretty amazing. but I have to say that he did this, and literally, it's like the guy used to being asked about, you know, foreign policy, political policy, that type of thing, presidential things. He was being asked a lot about the Dougie.
Wow.
And let me tell you, I mean, celebrities on the red carpet flocked to be with him, to like take a picture with him. And it was a lot of fun. And he, one of the nicest people, he's a dear family friend. And it was a really nice time. It was fun. And it was fun to see people's reaction to him. It was very...
Oh, I'm sure it's all about context, right?
Yeah, it was very, very cool. You know, and so, yes, if you see the awards, I'm sitting next to him in the second row. We're sitting by... in front of a Gladys Knight. They have a wonderful tribute to Dionne Warwick, which is just probably one of the highlights of the show for me,
cool,
to be honest with you. So it's a really good show. I had not watched last year, obviously.
You know, the night you were doing this, I was over at the Bellagio waiting to go over to, and was actually going to, the Vegas Magazine party that night over at Hyde. And I was looking at my phone and a group of people before the party, and I had this look on my face. It was I don't know what it was exactly, somewhat bemused. And somebody from across the table... We're at the piano bar there, actually, across the table. Said, "Cats, what's going on?" And I said, "It involves Trish McCrone and Wolf Blitzer." And everybody started laughing. They're like, "What's going on?" And I said, "Soul Train Music Awards, Trish McCrone, Wolf Blitzer." And I'm looking, and you'd sent a photo of you guys on the carpet. And all I could do was just hold up my phone. I said, "I have visual evidence, and I'm not kidding." And everybody's, yes, like passing my phone around, like, "Oh my God." And yeah, they were really interested in trying to.
So kind of made me the coolest plus one in the room, I have to say, because I was with the coolest guy.
He probably was the coolest plus one in the room.
It was amazing.
Because
it was a lot
of
fun. But we did sit next to, I want to say something really quick. We sat next to Toni Braxton.
Yes.
In the second row.
Mm-hmm.
And Toni Braxton is someone who has come out very publicly about lupus, mm-hmm, which we know that, mm-hmm, I am a sufferer of lupus, something that I shared. I thanked her for all the things that she's done, because she really has gone in the forefront. A lot of people that have it don't talk about it. And she said to me, she goes, the first thing she said, "Are you having a good day or a bad day?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "I'm having a good day." She goes, and I said, "How are you?" And she goes, "I'm having a good day." And she gave me a hug, and it was like just a very sweet moment. And last year she was honored at the LA Lupus, which is Lupus,
right,
LA, sorry, which I'm a part of. Their ladies' bag luncheon, where all these celebrities donate bags and then people bid on them, and it's a big luncheon. Last year she was honored. And this Friday, the day the show airs, a dear friend of mine and yours, Kelly Stone,
mm-hmm,
is being honored, and her sister Sharon Stone and her mother Dot Stone. So the three of them are being honored. So I will actually be in LA when this airs and celebrating that. And so just, I want to say a special shout out. Thank you to Toni Braxton, and congratulations to the Stone family. And a thank you to Lupus LA for getting awareness out there and all
Very
that they
good.
Do.
Very good. All good. Is she still living in Vegas? Toni Braxton? She's a Las Vegas resident.
Don't I know.
She has been for a while. She was there at Babyface. She's performed at the Flamingo for a time and has been at the Pearl Concert Theater within the last few months. Heads up for you readers of the Greenspun Media Group. I'm going to be in Macau. We're doing a project called 6 Days in Macau beginning Tuesday of next week. Look out for that because it's going to be a barn burner of an assignment. I'm going to Macau pegged to the Manny Pacquiao-Brandon Rios fight. And if you want to know anything about Macau, start reading our websites beginning Tuesday. So I'm really fired up about this one. This is going to be crazy. Enough about us.
And you are going to be one of the people that is just going to stand out.
I am going to stand out.
That's because you're like
somehow.
You're going to look like you're 7'10".
I know. I've been, and Ciara Borgatai, who's with the PR crew, is my height. So she's going to really stand out. All right. Up next, we are without Josh Bell this week. He's got to take the week off because his eyes are tired or something.
Or but he's mad at me about my Breaking Bad comments.
And he's, I don't know. Maybe he's boycotting. But up next is the man who brought absinthe to Las Vegas, and he's got other plans at the Cosmopolitan, the impresario extraordinaire of Spiegel World 1, Ross Mollison. So stick around. I know we will.
I'm Gregory Popovich from Popovich Comedy and Pet Theater, and you are listening to Cats with the Dish.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is the impresario extraordinaire of Spiegel World, having been promoted to that position by someone called the gazillionaire. That's a weird outcome. Spiegel World is the co-producer of Absinthe at Caesar's Palace and also the new producer of the new show at Rose Rabbit Lie at the Cosmopolitan. That show is to be called Vegas Nocturne and opens December 30th. Joining us now for the first time is the impresario, Ross Mollison. Thanks for joining us, Ross.
It's a pleasure. Nice to be here.
Of Spiegel World. Why are you in town at this point in your life?
I come to Vegas almost weekly. And
we never hear this.
I'm here a lot because, you know, we have Absinthe here, which has been running now for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And we constantly are looking for ways to work that and what we should be doing with it and changing it up a bit and having fun with it. And just because we love being here, you know, we love the town, we love working here, and mm-hmm. And it's been good to us. And we're really thrilled that Caesars have confirmed we can stay till 2016.
Tell me about this contract extension. We've understood Absinthe to be an open-ended deal. You know, it can run for eternity.
Yeah, well,
but now we have a specified time of where this contract runs through.
Yeah, well,
what's the difference?
I think the thing is, you know, you guys in Vegas, you're all very marketing focused. Like Vegas, everybody in Vegas has a marketing. You know, you're checking out of the supermarket, people will tell you where the marketing's wrong or whatever. And you know, I think you said to me, "Yeah, look, this is just marketing hype. You know, you were always going to run forever." And it's actually not the case. You know, as Scott Zeiger from Baseball confirmed, when we opened there, it was a 6-month lease.
Yes, and didn't you have a tent issue of something like you could only have the tent working for 6 months?
That's right.
Or something?
The fire department, fire chief said to me in no uncertain terms, I said, "You can put that thing up and I'll honor that, but you know, in 6 months it's coming down and never bring one of those things back here again." So, you know, it was really a 6-month gig. And, you know, we started off, it was a super big struggle. But then I think because of our focus on locals and I think the media were very kind to us. They enjoyed the show. They liked the fact that something a little bit different was coming to town.
And the gazillionaire paid everybody.
And well, he's filthy. He is so
including the media.
He is so obscenely rich that he just buys everything. I think he's the biggest stockholder in Caesars now. So, you know, he did all that. And so we survived. And then at the end of 6 months, we said, well, let's have a crack at it. And it was really – because that was then coming into winter. And we didn't know, will people really come out in Vegas in winter? Well, if this is winter, like, you know, the winter we've had in November, mm-hmm. I'm sure they would. But, you know, we were worried about that. And then we said, well, look, let's give it a go. What have we got to lose? And it really stuck. It worked just as well in winter as it did in summer. And then Caesars said, well – you know, the main thing is, you know, we're not going to build anything on that block of land. It's prime real estate. It's the best real estate on the Vegas Strip, in my view. And they said, we won't build anything there. For 3 years, we'll give it to you and signed a lease. So mm-hmm. we're there to 2016. And, you know, hopefully the economy continues to grow and Caesars build a 400 story tower and give us a new showroom in there. But yeah, you know, until that point, we're in our own venue there.
Yeah, this ensures the venue partnership with the with Caesars Entertainment, more or less.
Absolutely. What mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, Caesars and you know, specifically Gary Selesner has been so supportive of Absinthe and Spiegelworld. You know, it was really him who took the punt.
The president of Caesars.
Yeah, and he really said, look, I'm going to – we actually sat in one of the early meetings and there's like 20 Caesars executives around a table, and one of them said, well, I think it's terrible. I don't think it's Caesars brand at all. I don't think we should do this. But I was sitting around the same table when we said the same thing about Cirque du Soleil. So what do I know? You know, I thought that was really funny, and so you know, he really, you know, being a New York guy, I think he backed it in. Thought, well, this has been a big hit in New York; it'll work down here, and off mm-hmm. we went. So,
we've had a lot of shows that work in New York that haven't worked here very well, but yours does. What do you think the reason is for that exactly? I mean, as a fan, you see everything, including all the Cirque shows. What do you think? Why do you think it's been a hit here?
I mean, the serious answer is, you know, we just got lucky. You know, in entertainment, nobody knows nothing. And really, we just thought, well, let's give Vegas a crack, and it worked. But if you were to go analytical on it and say, I think Vegas has a love of things that aren't necessarily anywhere else, you know, and I think that's Cirque's great asset. That, you know, really the only place in the world you can see that style of show is Las Vegas. And that's why I think there was a big argument as to whether there should be two of them when they went from Mystère to the second one,
mm-hmm.
which was O, I think.
Oh, yes.
And right. You know, and once O opened and was bigger than Mystère, they said, well, there's no stopping us now. And to their great success. So, you know, I mean, we learnt at the feet of Cirque du Soleil and we saw how successful their entertainment is. But just like in New York, there's Broadway and there's off-Broadway. You know, you come to New York, you maybe see, you know, Book of Mormon and go and see Wicked or something. The next night you head downtown and see something that's a bit different, a bit kooky. We thought, well, maybe there's an opportunity for that in Vegas, that we could, you know, we could be the off-Broadway to the big guys from Quebec.
Yeah. Now that Cirque is the established predominant production company, they are like that. They are like our Broadway.
Well, they're the biggest in the world. I mean, yeah. There's no one who has that scale of operation. I think they still have about, you know, 3,500, 4,000 employees. They're constantly creating new work. You know, they're extraordinary, inspirational.
Yeah, to artists as well. I remember about a year ago when you guys were going through contract talks and were in discussions with Caesars, and I talked to Scott Zeiger of Bass, who's your co-producer at Caesars, and he indicated to me that there wasn't any grand overarching motivation for a show for Absinthe to get any bigger than it already was. Or for the company even to get any bigger than it already was. It was a singular thing that was going to live as a single show. And you came back to me and said, no, we really have some other objectives as far as Spiegelworld goes in Las Vegas. And as we go forward, here we have the show at the Cosmopolitan. Mm-hmm. Are you in some way reflecting kind of what Cirque managed to do, at least with the one more show, when you make the Mystère and Oak comparison with Vegas Nocturne over at Cosmopolitan? Because this is another version of what you do so well in another hotel.
Well, yeah, I think for us, you know, we have a range of ideas as producers, and we want to go out and do them. And when we met the people from the Cosmopolitan, they have a range of ideas as well, and we really like them. And so we thought we could create something that's different. It's different for us. So we're people use terms like a new genre of entertainment, which, you know, I don't think there's been since Shakespeare. You know, they've pretty much been all thrashed out, you know. But
it's Shakespeare with holograms.
Yes. I think there's a, you know, the hyperbole aside, you know, we want to do something a little bit different. We want to have fun. We love it here. So, you know, this is really a great adventure for us in creating something that's really fabulous. The other thing is the property. And, you know, we were sitting there going, wow, this Cosmopolitan is so cool. And then I went and stayed there one night and it's just beautiful. And and I said, well, they're sitting there with Elvis. Those people who go there don't want to go to Elvis. And the other side, they got O, you know, which, you know, they probably all saw 10 years ago or something. So, you know, I think there's an enormous opportunity there. So I proceeded to go to every bar in the Cosmopolitan and, you know, talk to every bartender and drink at every bar and eat at every restaurant.
That had to be a tough play.
It was
That was a tough assignment you gave yourself.
A tough gig. And I comped everybody from the entire property in. So when someone first, you know, some of those guys have seen it like 20 times. And so when someone said, well, were we thinking about doing a show, there was this resounding chorus as you have to talk to the guys from Absinthe because, you know, concierge, everyone had been. So we were totally, they were totally.
You know, you made yourself known.
That was good marketing. Let's totally go back to the earlier conversation. Yeah, that's, marketing.
That's direct marketing.
Yeah. They've been totally deceived into this relationship, I think. You know, it's most inappropriate. But no, we're really excited about the new project. So
tell us about it. I mean, what is the new project?
Well, the new project is something that we've been working on for quite a while now with the Cosmopolitan, and it's going to have a restaurant component, and it's going to have an entertainment component. And, you know, I could say to you, you know, something like the roof is going to open up and you're going to be able to see the stars and all these sort of things, which is not going to happen. But
I think you're beneath the Chelsea, aren't you? Isn't that where this showroom is?
I can never work out where it is.
It's underneath the stage.
It could well be.
That would be cold if you could do that, by the way.
It could well be there. But my point is that, you know, everything I say about it, you know, actually is, you can't describe what we're trying to do. There's no correct comparison in Las Vegas now or anywhere to my mind. You know, of course, as an artist, our artists and as a producer, you see everything and you take things from everywhere you go in your mind when you're creating things. But I think this will be something new, and it's something that we've specifically created for Las Vegas. And, you know, I urge everybody simply to come and see it and tell me what they think it is. And tell me what they think
of
it.
Well, if people, for example, fans of Absinthe, I'm going to try to nail you down here a bit. Fans of Absinthe.
Very slippery.
Will they, is this along the lines that if you enjoy Absinthe, you will love this?
I hope so. You know, we're not going to be producing an opera or a symphony orchestra or, you know, a walkthrough experience. Immersive experience where everybody's pretending, you know, it's a Shakespeare or something. You know, it will be.
Which is a great idea. No,
well, it is a great idea, but it, you know, I don't know if it's what people in Vegas want to see. But my point is that, yeah, I think the people who stay at the Cosmopolitan will enjoy it. I think that's the point. You know, the people who stay there, they love all these great restaurants they've got. They love the funky design of the whole joint, and they love, you know, just the way they've rethought how you stay in a casino in Las Vegas, right? From the terraces in, you know, and it really all is terraces. A different experience.
So, who's doing the food, by the way?
There's a company which we're working with called Coastal Luxury Management, and these guys are out of Monterey, and they run a delicious restaurant there called 1833, which has been, you know, a James Beard nominated restaurant, and they also run the LA Food and Wine Festival and the Pebble Beach Food and Wine Festival. So they're a really interesting partner in that they've got this event experience. But they're also fine dining guys. Like they know their way around a duck à l'orange.
Okay. which is what exactly?
And also,
people like Absinthe, will they like the duck à l'orange? Okay.
But they will.
I think gazillionaires yelled this before. Duck à l'orange. But he wasn't talking about food. We loved Absinthe. That's Dish funny. And I went to see the first Absinthe show.
Yes,
Let's say we're going out. We're going to go see this show you've got at Rose Rabbit Live. We're going to have dinner. Mm-hmm. We're going to go and have dinner. What is going to happen? We're going to have a cast of characters involved.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a stage.
A steak?
Stage.
Oh, a stage.
We're going to eat the steak. We're going to watch the stage.
Right.
There's going to be performances in the round?
Well, not, there's
slightly in the round?
There's going to be performances throughout the venue. So, you know, there is going to, you know, we're working and we're really creating it now. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been creating it for a year, but now everybody's in town in the rehearsal room.
Yes, I saw that there was actually a thing that went out for security and servers and hostesses.
Yeah, they're hiring for
staff. You're doing some hiring. Has it happened already? I mean, I know I saw the...
Yeah, we had, I think we had like 600 people come through on Sunday.
Yes, it was this week.
It was massive and really, really fantastic talent. And people have come from Los Angeles and all over the place to be part of it. So that was really exciting. But, you know, I think the thing to do is to come and book and have dinner and then come and see, you know, there's three cantos. We call them cantos because they're stanzas. Each different. They're each different. We're riffing on our musical theme there of Vegas Nocturne. One's at 8 p.m., one's at 10 p.m., and one's at midnight. And, you know, you can buy a ticket to the 8 and 10 p.m. cantos. And you know, come and see one. If you enjoy it, I'd say come and see the other.
These
if you enjoy that, come and see the last one.
They're dissimilar to each other. They're
totally different. They're totally different creations.
Now, how many members of the cast are we talking
about? We're talking about 40.
40?
Yeah.
40.
Now, will they each be in each show?
Yes, hopefully.
So their plan is, yes.
You never know with Spiegelworld.
They won't necessarily be in each of the cantos, if that's what you mean, but they'll be there each there every night. We don't rotate those 40. They're all there for the entire experience.
With Absinthe, you guys have gotten a lot of mileage out of the review that said you were like Cirque channeled through, was it Monty Python? Rocky Horror. I'm sorry. Cirque channeled through Rocky Horror.
Yes.
That's a very good way to describe in a bumper sticker what Absinthe is. It works.
Yes.
That type of thing. Is there a way to describe Vegas Nocturne in such a is it Absinthe channeled through Tony and Tina's? What is it?
Yeah, that's exactly what we were thinking.
It's nothing like what you were thinking.
No, it's nothing like it's going to be something that you write in your review in the Las Vegas Sun. I suspect because I'm feeling like I'm a politician here today because
like
I'm just
au
like
Mirage.
I'm
if you
doing
like
everything.
Duck Mirage,
yeah,
you
yeah.
Like,
if you like Duck Mirage,
it's
like
Duck Mirage.
Absinthe channeled through Duck Mirage.
Exactly. I just that is pretty.
That would work for
there
me.
There you go. So you know the thing about Absinthe is we opened in New York in 2006, so we've been doing it a while now, and you know you find your voice. In especially when you're doing something new, and I really don't want to find my voice until I've seen how the audience respond.
You can't push that, right?
No, in other words,
Absinthe, you knew what it was pretty much before it came here.
I knew exactly what we wanted to do in Vegas, and I came with a real understanding of who the characters were going to be and everything. And I use the example, I remember when I was working on the Fontainebleau project at the time, and where we were originally going to go with Absinthe in 2008.
The first home of Absinthe was going to be the big ballroom at the Fountain.
No, it was there's a theater, and we'd even started building it out, and you know, and it was a tragedy for everybody involved in that project. You know, we were funded by Lehman Brothers, so that was a bad decision.
Oh, and that didn't work out.
Work out for a lot of people, like the world economy. But I'm not complaining about that. We survived that, and so
that's what the show is. Not Lehman Brothers.
It's certainly
Du
not
Soleil.
That. So no, but I remember Steve Wynn was opening the Encore at the time, and he was talking about the Switch restaurant, and all the walls went up and down, and all the roof moved, and all this stuff, and it was like I was fascinated by that, and as soon as I opened, raced in to see it, and it's sort of, you know, sometimes you talk about things, and you don't get the right tone, and it's just wrong, and I think you need to see it because I actually think the best thing about that restaurant wasn't the walls; it was the steak. It was delicious.
Yeah.
And
people were looking around.
And they had a lobster mac and cheese, and you're there going, "Well, the walls move, great."
I was too busy eating that I actually missed the changeover.
Well, it happens 20 minutes later, so it's gone.
It never
now,
happens.
But anyway, my point is, I don't want to overhype this. I want you guys to come and see the show and tell us what you think, and we'll find the language to promote this because it really is a fun group of people. And the other thing is, you know, the expertise the property has, you know, and sitting in New York watching your HBO with these fascinating ads coming out with, you know, rabbits running down the hallway and you know, and people in bed together and in the lifts.
Cosmopolitan has great ads.
They really are amazing marketers. And so, you know, I'm sure they'll have a few opinions on how to do that.
So hopefully you won't be serving rabbits with the duck.
Rabbit d'Orange.
We'll have to speak to Chef, but you know, if he wants to, it could be Rabbit d'Orange. I don't know how that plays, but
yeah.
We'll find out.
We've got experts who can guide us. The other thing will be the mixology program and the drink program, which is something that's always been really important to us. Just because when I first moved to New York, I fell in love with a tiny little cocktail bar. And we ended up in New York on the East River with a hidden cocktail bar built in a sea container with great cocktails in there. And, you know, these guys are really into the barrel age cocktails and tap cocktails and stuff like that, which I think will really take the theater experience in a different direction. You know, you go to any entertainment, it's like you can have a bucket of Bud or, you know, a big gin and tonic or something, and it's like boom, boom, you know. But if you want, you would never order a cocktail. But I think we've got a few ideas which are going to mean that you can really have great quality drinks and really delicious drinks as part of the overall experience.
Well, I'm for that.
It's part of the relationship between the shows. Mm-hmm. Absinthe and Vegas Nocturne. There's going to be some cross training going on among the talent from Absinthe in the new show, right?
Well, you know, I'm not really aware of that. You know, the gazillionaire has. You know, I've asked him to see if he's got some friends who could come and help us. You know, just make sure we fine tune the comedy up there a bit. But yeah, and our director, of course, the director of Absinthe. Is also directing Vegas Nocturne, so I shouldn't overlook him.
Okay.
And he's also the director of the new Human Nature show. So he's...
Who are we talking about?
Wayne Harrison.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, yeah, but the talent that's in Absinthe is in Absinthe.
I see an Australian theme. All of a sudden.
There's some great talent in Australia.
Of course there is.
It's all coming to Vegas.
And since we
love Australia.
And since you're here to look at Absinthe, what can we expect different... between now and a few weeks from now. I know one act that's going to be returning is the High Wire act. Can you tell us about what's going on there?
Yeah, we've been working up some new ideas for the High Wire act, and we've come up with a new concept for that called the Frat Pack, which will still have the High Wire act, but you know, we're just always trying to push the comedy and the acrobatics in new directions. We recently put in a trapeze act, which is just ridiculous fun to see a trapeze that you normally see at the top of the cupola of a big top right down in front of your nose. It's kind of fun.
That's what the show does. It takes acts that you normally see from a distance and brings them right up to you.
And also puts a funny, sometimes naughty edge to that. So we are huge fans in Vegas, as we'll show of how many appearances that they make of the Gazillionaire and Penny. That they show up at many of our charity things, and
they're very hard workers. They really are amazing. And you know, I work for the Gazillionaire, so you know, I don't have a bad word to say about him. He's he's Penny funded does. Every project that I've been involved with, and he's amazing. But you know, I think you know, we're looking at new seating for the venue, which we're doing right now. You know, people have often commented how comfortable the seating is, but we want to take it to a whole new level.
No matter how comfortable it is,
maybe just give them a little bit of a cushion as well. So you know, we're really
a little bit of a cushion would be a good idea,
and we're really taking it to the upper standard in the luxury department.
Although I think the discomfort of the seating adds to the vibe of the room. You don't want the audience to be too comfortable.
I think that's true. I think
you want to be on alert in case a roller skater comes flying out from you at warp speed.
Or just escape.
That's me knocking on the wooden table. But the thing is, there is what you say is true. There's a density of audience in Absinthe that means that the guy's going nuts next to you. You can hear it. You know, you're not sitting in like a business class seat.
Exactly.
You know, and watching something. So there is an immediacy to it. So you compromise some of the comfort, but you do get that immediacy.
All right. Well, Ross, we've got to close this show right now. We really appreciate you coming down here.
It's
a
pleasure.
You're a really
Anytime.
Busy guy. One of our great creative minds right here, Ross Mollison of Spiegel World, impresario extraordinaire.
The man behind the Gazillionaire.
The czar.
Yes.
We'll do this again when you're back in town.
Thank you very much.